If you have your Bibles or your cell phones and an app, turn with me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is a great text for Thanksgiving season. As we looked at and examined the 107th Psalm, I decided to read the whole Psalm because it gives a full rendering of Thanksgiving. But as I read it, if you have it before you, I want you to take notice of each time, over and over again, the chorus or the refrain is repeated. It starts off in the beginning with, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." And every seven verses or so goes on to say, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, His wonderful deeds for men." That refrain, that chorus, punctuates the whole psalm, off and on again. Then gives the context for these thanksgiving, the need that God's people have, some wandered in desert wastelands. Over and over again you see situations and circumstances that call for a need for deliverance. And then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them. You see that repeated in each stanza. And then God's deliverance, leading them to give thanks again. So listen as I read from Psalm 107. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds to men, for He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. For they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, so He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness in the deepest gloom and broke their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. For He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways, suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent forth His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. Then He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water and parched ground into flowing springs. Then he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards and yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. For their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, sorrow. He who poured contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted up the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. This is a great psalm of thanksgiving. For God is good all the time. Remember that? There is, actually it was started with, I believe it originated in the African American church, this call and response, affirmation of faith. God is good
all the time.
All right, we're cooking now. One more time. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. What a great thing to remind ourselves and respond to this psalm with an antiphonal thanksgiving. And I was reminded as I was preparing of a praise, contemporary praise song by Don Moen. He's the one who wrote Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart, one of my favorite Thanksgiving choruses. Also, he wrote God Will Make a Way, and he also wrote a chorus called, entitled, God is Good All the Time. And it's a great thing. Look it up on YouTube and check it out. This Psalm 107 is a great theme to stir our hearts to thankfulness this week. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, begins the psalm, sets the tone. And in this season, coronavirus 19 pandemic, 2020 is a tough time to feel thanksgiving. As the governor's protocols are rising with second or third wave, I can't keep track of how many waves we're in, but this latest wave, resurgence of the pandemic, the governor of our state is calling for limits to travel plans for Thanksgiving, a hardship for many of our families and traditions. He is recommending, requesting, requiring, I'm not quite sure how that looks, family gatherings to limit to 10 people per family gathering on Thanksgiving, just our own individual households. I don't know how he's going to enforce that. I've seen pictures of Governor Murphy peeking through the windows of our dining rooms, checking out, counting, and they have to 10 yet. I don't know if that's going to happen. I doubt it. But anyhow, particularly difficult times to be thankful, especially for those who live alone, those who have nowhere to go, restaurants and businesses being shut down again, economic impacts and financial strains with anxieties and discomforts for We're just starting to get back to normal. Hospitals and nursing homes restricting visits, cutting off connections with loved ones. I received a communication from Wiley Healthcare down in Marlton, where my mother lives, saying they're no longer going to be having in-person visitation like they had set up. Schools reversing plans for in-person classroom. You know about New York City shutting down schools again. Churches forcing to adapt with the discouragement of the restrictions and the dissension that comes with disagreements. So tough to feel thankful in this season. But I want to encourage you, no matter what, this year, Thanksgiving, where it takes more effort to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, let us be thankful. This year, where we need to be more intentional and deliberate to count our blessings, let us be thankful. This year, as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, it's less about feelings and more about obedience to God's commands to give thanks always. So let us be thankful. And today, let us learn from this Psalm, Psalm 103, secrets of true thanksgiving to help inform and motivate our thanksgiving, our true thanksgiving. Secret number one for thanksgiving: we can celebrate the goodness of God. Number one, let us learn to celebrate God's goodness in our lives. No matter what, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. God's goodness is illustrated in our circumstances. We see that in verse 1, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, as I said, in the psalm structure, the chorus of give thanks with grateful hearts. One commentator I wrote said, in this psalm you see four different illustrations in our circumstances in different ways in which we give thanks. God delivered them from their distress, verse 6. He satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things, verse 9. He brought them out of the darkness and gloom and broke their bonds asunder, verse 14. He healed the sick and delivered his people from destruction, verse 20. When sailors in bitter distress staggered like drunken men on ships and buffeted in mighty storms, cried out to the Lord, He made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed, verse 29. He raises up the needy out of their affliction, verse 41. Today, whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, God's goodness still remains. Did I just get stronger in voice? What a blessing that is. I'm thankful for that. Even as my voice gets tired, I can count on that. Okay. God's goodness is illustrated in our circumstances. And God's goodness initiates or instigates our thanksgiving today. God's goodness initiates, motivates our thanksgiving. A good example of this is in Psalm 34. Sometime this week, look that over. Psalm 34, an example of David in deep distress, as often was his circumstance in life. Oftentimes, before he was crowned king, Saul, his predecessor, came after him seeking his life. And at one point, he escaped from King Saul and went to the Philistines, which is hard to imagine because he had killed the Philistine champion, Goliath. But he went to find sanctuary with the Philistines in one of their major five cities. And then he realized what he had done. And he decided he was in trouble with King Achish, the Abimelech, the king of the Philistine city. And he pretended he was insane. And he left, got away with it, and ended up in the cave of Abdul with a band of merry men, actually a bunch of other outcasts, and he sang this song to them, "I will extol the Lord at all times." Remember, he's in exile, escaping with his life. "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted," all those gathered with him in the cave, must have been a big cave, "let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Taste and see that the Lord is good." Let's say that together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Blessed is the man who takes refuge. God's goodness is tangible, sensible. Taste it. Taste it. See it. Personally experience this. David's challenging those around him. So it is with us. Whatever our circumstances, contemplate and meditate on God's goodness. It's easy to look around at our circumstances, grumble and complain. But if you want a truly thankful heart, the first secret is to focus on God's continued goodness and let his goodness prompt thanksgiving. God's goodness is where grace and gratitude in our hearts begin. That's what motivates us. As we meditate on God's attributes, we can have truly thankful hearts. God's eternal love, his unfailing kindness, God's amazing grace, God's tender mercy, new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Today, perhaps you're just not feeling it. "I don't feel particularly thankful, preacher. Quit bothering." Well, I understand feelings, especially in these times. But I encourage you to remember and respond with thanksgiving, no matter what. Celebrating God's goodness to give thanks. Secret number two is to focus on the main issues of life. The second secret in this psalm, to learn to cultivate true thanksgiving of heart and mind, is to focus on the main issues of life. In this psalm, there are four contexts for thanksgiving. Four contexts for thanksgiving in verse 4, 10, 17, 23 through 27. The psalmist paints four pictures of people who have been forced to consider the main issue, the main thing in life. First, there are the travelers who lost their way in wilderness wanderings, perhaps following Moses through the Midianite desert. For those 40 years, they circled in a desert where there was no familiar landmark, alone, hungry and thirsty, ready to give up when they called on the Lord, and he led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Verse 7, the second picture is of captives who suffer in terrible prisons, covered with darkness and bound in irons. This could be anything from Joseph, one of the patriarchs in prison in Egypt, or it could be the prophets, Jeremiah, or any of the prophets imprisoned for their preaching. Could be New Testament saints and apostles, Peter and John and Paul in prison, but covered with darkness and bound with irons. The third window through which we view the extremity of life reveals those who were sick, barely able to keep out of the grave, The fourth description is the terror of sailors who are helpless before a relentless storm, verses 23 through 27. The Jews were not particularly known for their prowess in sailing or in sea. Indeed, the sea was a special terror to the Hebrews, and oftentimes in their minds, the sea and the deep was synonymous to them of chaos and death. In these illustrations and circumstances, the psalmist reminds us of the primary issues of life. Today, are you feeling lost and alone, wandering and wondering? Today, are you feeling bound up and in